Hechel Menachem presents A Tale of Two Souls, an ongoing lecture series on the Tanya by Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak Jacobson. This is recording number 85 in this series entitled The Art of Love Part 3, How to Deal with People You Dislike. This class was recorded live at Hechel Menachem, Brooklyn, New York, on the 26th of Tevis, 5760.
Tonight's shiur is dedicated Le'ilu Nishmas, Reb David Reb Yitzchak Isaac Akayan Kleinman, who passed away just 2 weeks ago. And the theme that we will be dealing with this evening, the conclusion of the 32nd chapter of Tanya, I believe can serve as a most suitable testimony and zikaron to the Isha Chesed that he was, and with his particular brand of Chesed that he embodied, as we shall see when we go along. The theme of Perek Lamed Beis is dedicated to love, to the essence of love, the nature of love, according to Chassidus, how a person can reach and attain love in his life, particularly the mitzvah of Ahavta L'Recha Kamoicha, love to a fellow Jew. The saintly Reb Levi Yitzchak of Berditchev was a very close friend of the Alter Rebbe's, and he served as the Rav, the Rabbi, and the spiritual leader of the Jewish community in Berditchev. And Berditchev lived a Jew who was a very wealthy man, also unfortunately very obnoxious and despised, persecuted the holy Reb Levi Yitzchak of Berditchev. At any given opportunity he had, he would oppress him, torture him, persecute him. It's difficult, it's unfathomable and inconceivable how a person can hate and despise Reb Levi Yitzchak of Berditchev, who embodied, he was a pillar of love towards every Yid. But nevertheless, I guess his haughtiness, his arrogance, his chutzpah, or whatever, we know that hate unfortunately has dynamics of its own and has some very powerful intensity of its own. He despised the Berditchever and really gave him a rough time. One Erev Yom Kippur, he really fell to the lowest depths, and he contrived an unfathomable scheme to get the Reb Levi Yitzchak. What did he do? He came to his home late afternoon, before Kol Nidre, and he says, "Rebbe, you know that Yom Kippur only atones for sins between man and Hashem, but for sins between man and his fellow man, we must ask forgiveness. So I think a new Yom Kippur is approaching. It's time for you and I to make up, to become friends again. I ask you forgiveness if I have done any evil, any wrong to you. Please forgive me and let's enter into Yom Kippur with love and affection towards each other. Levi Yitzchak was thrilled. He was overjoyed. He said, of course, I forgive you with all my heart, all my soul. No question, no blemish, no nothing will remain from our previous disputations and arguments and so forth. Now this man in his viciousness pulls out a bottle of mashke. It was a particularly intoxicating alcoholic beverage. And he says, I think in that honor we should say l'chaim. Reb Levi Yitzchak says, of course, only appropriate. So he pours him a full cup. And he says, Rebbe, say l'chaim. And to his astonishment and happiness, Reb Levi Yitzchak begins drinking. And Erev Yom Kippur. And concludes the cup of mashke. He says, Rebbe, such an awesome joy between us, such an awesome moment we made up. Why don't you say another l'chaim? And he pours, fills up another glass, and gives it to the Rav. And Reb Yitzchak says, l'chaim. L'chaim towards Avos Yisrael, l'chaim towards the love and warm relationship between Yidden, and he drinks up this glass as well. The man did not stop. He pours a third glass, and Reb Levi Yitzchak drinks it, and he wishes him a gmar chasim toiva, and he leaves his home all happy, celebrating the success of his vicious scheme. The eve of Yom Kippur, the system of Barditchev was that Reb Levi Yitzchak served as the chazan, as the cantor. So he was certain that either the Rav won't show up, because the effect of this alcoholic beverage, sometimes if it's not noticeable at the moment, it will soon be noticeable, and it will push it, throw him into a slumber. Or even if he comes to shul, he makes it, he'll behave as a shikr, as an intoxicated individual, and he was overjoyed with the success of his plan. He will finally demonstrate to the city of Barditchev that what is the Rav doing right before Yom Kippur? Drinking mashke, drinking alcohol, getting drunk, comes to the holiest prayer of the year, Kol Nidre, knowing that he is the chazan as a shikr, heaven forbid. And finally, he will be able to get rid of Reb Levi Yitzchak, of the rabbi of the city. The night falls, the man comes to shul, and the Rav also comes to shul, dressed in his kittel, and his talis, and his gartel, and he begins Kol Nidre as every year, with the same passion, the same warmth, the same earnestness, the same spiritual ecstasy, and transcendental intensity, and he goes through the whole tefillah with the voice, with the special melodies, particular to this man, the Holy of Holies, the Rebbe of Barditchev, one of the greatest students of the Maggid. And this poor wicked man was burning. He was eating up on himself. Finally, he thought he succeeded. And le'nagav le'paga, to no avail. Everyone was just consumed by the spiritual tefillah of Reb Levi Yitzchak. This man was burning from anger. The only comforting thought that came into his mind was, at least no one knows about it. No one knows about his vicious plans, and no one knows about his failure. As is the system, as is the custom in many Jewish communities, after Maariv Yom Kippur, in many Jewish communities, the congregation remains, and they say the whole Tillim together. And that was the custom in Barditchev as well. And Reb Levi Yitzchak served as the chazan who led the congregation in saying the entire book of Tillim as well. So he starts saying kapitel by kapitel, till he comes to Kapitel Mem Aleph. And in Kapitel Mem Aleph, he reaches a certain pasuk, and he repeats that pasuk again and again and again. And it was the pasuk, Bezois yadaiti ki chafatztabi, ki lo yariya oivi aloi. And he's repeating it again and again. To everyone's astonishment, no one knows what is the significance behind this enigmatic behavior, conduct of Reb Levi Yitzchak, besides one person. And he's ripped up in himself. He's torn, tormented within himself. The Rebbe Levi Yitzchak is praising Hashem and saying, by this shall I know, b'zayis yadayti, ki chafatz to be that you, Hashem, desire me, ki lo yariya oivi yalai, that you will not let my foe shout, triumph gleefully over me. Yariya, as the Mepharshim explained, comes from the term teruah, a shout, a gleeful shout, teruah shel simcha. And he's saying it again and again, praising Hashem, that he demonstrated his desire in the holy Badit Shavarav, not allowing this vicious plan to succeed. And he was even more outraged that the Rav figured out what was going on. But then suddenly, Reb Levi Yitzchak began interpreting the Pasuk in Yiddish. And this is how he interpreted it. B'zayis yadayti ki chafatztabi. By this shall I know that you, Hashem, desire me. Ki lo yariya oivi alai. That you will not let my enemy experience bad fortune because of me. You will not let my enemy experience yariya ra, any negativity, because of what he planned to do to me. That's how I know, Hashem, that you love me. That you love me so much that notwithstanding a specific Jew's plans against me, from me, from an issue connected to me, won't come out bad to another Yid. That's how I know that you love me. And here, he couldn't contain himself anymore. And he ran over to Reb Levi Yitzchak. He began weeping and he prostrated himself. He fell to the floor and he said, the Rebbe, forgive me. I didn't know who you are. This was the product of the great students of the Magid, the student of the Baal Shem Tov. So in this chapter, the Alter Rebbe came to address this issue in a way that's relevant to us, the Sefer Shel Beinonim. We're not a Blavitzik Baditshavas. Sefer Shel Beinonim, the book for ordinary men, for the possible man, which means you and I, and so forth. People like us with all the beauty and all the darkness that exists in our psyche and consciousness. How indeed we come to a level of love, of real love. And Alter Rebbe said that there are two paths in life. There's the path of the ego and there's the path of the soul. There is living with your ego and living with your soul. The ego is that part in us which is defined by the fact that it's self-contained, it's self-centered, it's self-oriented, it's self-directed. So for the ego, the most natural thing is to be lonely and isolated, to be self-oriented, to retain its own space, because the definition of ego is I care for myself and I want myself and I want to be comfortable and satiated and happy and gratified and I want to endure and survive. So the natural thing for me to do is to engage in a pattern of behavior that is centered around me, namely to be alone. For the ego to go beyond itself, to go out of itself and to connect, to love another individual is a piece of news. It's a news item. It's a chiddush. It only comes about if the ego comprehends some way that this will supplement her, that there's something in it for me, for the ego. And then the ego engages in a process of building a relationship with someone else. By the soul, it's exactly converse. The most unnatural thing for the soul is to be lonely and isolated. And this is the unique thing about a neshama. The soul is incomplete when it's complete. The soul is complete when it's half. The soul finds itself. The soul discovers her identity when she goes out of herself, when she melts away in her love of another individual, of another soul. Because a soul is not a self-contained, single, self-oriented entity. The definition of the soul is that she constitutes, she is part and parcel, she is an inseparable part of the community, of the assembly of all the souls of the Jewish people, which all of them are intertwined and interconnected with the real I, with the divine I, with the universal I, with the eye of Hashem. So if I detach myself, if I'm separated from other people, I'm being disloyal to my soul. I'm being loyal to my ego, but not to my soul. My soul needs to love. My soul needs a relationship. That is her nature. The soul celebrates selflessness. The soul celebrates love. That's where she finds her identity. She finds herself through losing herself. Because herself is not egotistical. Herself is transcendental. Herself is made up of other souls. Therefore, the key to find true love in your life is by opening yourself up to your soul. When one begins celebrating his or her spirituality, the spiritual component, when one begins appreciating and celebrating the part in him that is incomplete, the part in him that doesn't want to be complete, the part in him that cannot be complete, that wants to be half. When I begin embracing that part in me which celebrates, which enjoys vulnerability, which her completeness comes through connecting with another yid, that's when I can begin to experience real love in my life, selfless love. And therefore, Hillel stated in Gemara Shabbos, as we learned last week, that loving your fellow Jew constitutes kol ha-Torah kula, that is the whole Torah, and everything else in Torah is a commentary on his statement, what is hateful unto you, don't do to others. And here the Alter Rebbe, in a unique moment, not only a unique moment for him, but a unique moment in the whole Judaic literature, defines what Yiddishkeit is. What is the essence and function and purpose of Torah? Yisoid v'shoyder is the foundation and root of Torah, is to walk the path of the soul, not to walk the path of the ego. The whole Torah comes to teach us how to open ourselves up to our soul, how to begin to define ourselves in a new way, in a deeper way, in accordance with our true essence. Not as physical, egotistical human beings, but to begin opening up ourselves to our spiritual lives, to become spiritual, to connect to our spirituality. In other words, the whole Torah comes to teach us how to love. I mentioned to you that every chapter in Tanya, sometimes when we read it or learn it now, the concepts resonate within us and we take it for granted, as a result of the fact that for 200 years, Chassidus and the perspective of Chassidus saturated the Jewish world and essentially the world as a whole. But when the Alter Rebbe, when the Tanya was first published 200 years ago, a little more than 200 years ago, every chapter created a commotion. Every chapter created a revolution. It's difficult to understand now this concept, because we live in another time, and as mentioned, the energy of Chassidus pervaded the consciousness of Klal Yisrael to a very significant degree. But 200 years ago, every chapter was another revolution. And if you go through chapter by chapter and you examine it thoroughly, you can see it. This chapter, in this chapter, it's quite evident. Because not only does the idea of this chapter stand in the furthest extreme from the philosophies of existential individualism that dominated a large part of the world, where the real man in that philosophy, the real true man, comes to discover how lonely he is in a world bereft of meaning. He comes to experience the angst of his isolation, the angst of it being me versus the whole world and so forth. But I'm talking even relative to the Jewish religious world. It was accepted that to be really religious, to be real spiritual, you had to be a little bit isolated. You had to have somewhat of an attitude towards other people. It came with the baggage of being spiritual. It came with the baggage of being ascetic. You being lonely, you having somewhat of a glimpse, of a perception of inferior, professing a perception of a certain spiritual superiority. At least this concept that he discusses here wasn't so emphasized. On the contrary, it was somewhat of a contradiction. The nature of loving people and being together with people and experiencing true fraternity was somewhat associated with frivolousness, with physicality, maybe with coarseness. The true mystic, the true Talmud Chacham, the true great scholar was lonely. He commanded a certain respect. He existed in a certain higher position in space. Came the Alter Rebbe and says that when Hillel said that love, that is the entire Torah, he means it literally. That is what Torah is all about. A Jew who's in touch with the true energy of Torah. His heart is on fire with love to every Yid. On the contrary, if you're really spiritual, you love even more. The more spiritual you are, the more your heart is on fire with love. The first sign of a real Yid, of a real holy person, of a real Torah Jew, is that he mamish loves every Yid. Because that means he's in touch with his soul, he's not in touch with his body. That means that he tuned in to the spiritual element of himself. He tuned into the neshama. If you're godly, you love Jews. If you're not godly, you're not. I don't love Jews. On the contrary, isolation distances you from your soul. It robs away your soul from your true identity. Isolation and loneliness at the end of the day is a product, not of spiritual sensitivity and superiority. And that's the big chiddush, and that's the revolution. It's ultimately a product of the egotistical, sophisticated soul that sometimes finds its ego in spiritual isolation. Real spirituality is all about love, all about brotherhood, all about closeness, the ability to really celebrate and feel close kinship with other people. The most comfortable place for a true spiritual man is to be with another Yid. The chassidim of the Alter Rebbe, faithful, loyal to the teachings of the Rebbe, personified this in an extraordinary way. It's told that in the cities where there were large communities of chassidim, when someone wanted to describe the love existing in a certain family, the love between brothers, the love between parents and children, they would say, the love between these brothers is so deep, it's like the love between chassidim. And Alter Rebbe once expressed himself that he's very pleased about this phenomenon, but he added, but this is still, they still did not reach that level of love that the Baal Shem Tov wanted from a Jew. Notwithstanding the intense love that existed between chassidim. And here came up the question. The Gemara says in Psachim, as mentioned, Psachim Nafkuf Yud Gimel Amid Beis, that when you see your friend sinning, it's a mitzvah to hate him. Mitzvah is nice. So the Alter Rebbe explained, true, but we have to qualify and understand the statement. The Gemara is talking about Chaveri B'Teiro Mitzvah, someone who is your equal, who's on par with you in the study of Torah and in the observance of mitzvahs. In addition to that, you have rebuked him and approved him according, reproved him according to halacha, which means once, twice, three times, like the Gemara says, even 100 times till he throws you away. And if that has been done, and nevertheless he refuses to repent, he spits you in the face, he spits a soul in the face, he spits halach in the face because you spoke to him about it and you explained it to him, and nevertheless he refuses to do any tshuva, then a Jew sensitive to truth, sensitive to spirituality, to the divine will, such negative behavior warrants and justifies animosity, a sense of hate. But that someone who's on par with you in his Torah and mitzvahs, and you have rebuked him, and still he hasn't demonstrated any readiness to do tshuva, to change, and so forth. So you could say that his life is an embodiment. His life is an expression of an absolute merida, rebelliousness against the divine will that warrants hate. But if these, all of these above mentioned conditions have not come to pass, so the fact that you see a Jew sin, the fact that you see a Jew who is not religious, the fact that you see a Jew who engages in immoral behavior does not create a justification for animosity. There is no evil here that justifies your hate, your animosity. It's possible there was an unwilling act. It's possible he doesn't know what you know. It's possible he didn't take everything into consideration. He made an error. He fell victim to his weakness, and so on and so forth. On the contrary, when you're dealing with such a person, here the conduct of Hillel is what is appropriate. As he said, you must draw these people closer with powerful, deep cords of love through which you'll be able to bring them closer to Torah and to Yiddishkeit. And even if you fail in that attempt, you have fulfilled the mitzvah of a haftal erecha kamaycha. And now the Alter Rebbe continues. Let's learn inside, page 82, Daf Mem Aleph Amud Beis. Line beginning, in the center of the page, the line beginning, Schar Mitzvah Avasreya. V'gam ha-makuravim elav v'hoichicha v'loishavu ma'aveneseyem. And even when we're dealing with those people who are close to him, and he has rebuked them, and nevertheless, they have still not repented of their sins. Shemitzvah l'snoisam, which in that case, the Gemara says that it's indeed a mitzvah to hate them. Nevertheless, says the Alter Rebbe, mitzvah la'avam gam kain. One is obliged to love them too. Coupled with the mitzvah to hate them, there's still the mitzvah to love them, like there's a mitzvah to love every Jew. This is complicated. How do you do both? He's saying every person experiences it in himself. We hate ourselves and we love ourselves. Do we really hate ourselves? I'm not demanding from you that one of these feelings should be an hallucinating fantasy-like experience. Really? You hate the guy. Just you say, he's a Jew, of course I love him. Ushtein ein emes. Both feelings are true, and if they're true, they can both exist in the human soul. Sine mitzad harasha behem. The hatred is on account of the negativity existing within them. That negativity, which produced this type of behavior, which is totally contrary to the nature of their own soul, to the divine will, to the Torah's blueprint. That negativity which inspired them, which triggered them to spit their own soul in the face, that negativity warrants and justifies sina, hatred. That part of them, it's a part of them, it's a component of them. Those that derive not of that nature, like he discussed above, that doesn't warrant your hatred. But this sira justifies sina. And the Alter Rebbe continues, va'ahava, and a love which is absolutely justifiable and appropriate and needed, mitzat p'chines ha-toiv she-ganuz, mitzat p'chines ha-toiv ha-ganuz she-behem, on account of the good which is hidden in them, which is embedded in them. Shahu, it may be gonus, it may be hidden and embedded, but it's part of them. Shahu nitzutz alakus shebeseichem, which is, he articulates clearly, the godly spark, the godly fire within them, hamechayin nafshem alakiz, that animates their divine transcendental soul. And that component of them, you must love, you should love, you want to love. And here we see clearly the shita, the perspective of the Alter Rebbe, that Avos Yisrael v'ahavta l'recha kamecha includes every single Jew without exception. Because indeed, this is not such a simple issue. There are halachic authorities, there are poskim, most notably the Smag, the Yireim, Agos Maimonis, and others that write clearly that v'ahavta l'recha kamecha, the commandment of loving your fellow Jew as yourself, refers only to re'acha and Torah and mitzvahs, to a Jew who learns Torah and observes mitzvahs. Other poskim immediately ask the question, most notably the Rameh in Mesichta Sanhedrin, Daf Nun Beis, the Shittim of Kabetzis and Ksuvas, Daf Lamed Zayin, who are Yishayinim, that the Gemara says in various places, in Ksuvas there, and in Sanhedrin, Memhei, that Reb Nachman said, from the mitzvah, after Recha Kamoicha, we learn out, that when you have a Jew who engages in an immoral act to the extent that it warrants the death penalty, and the Jewish court establishes that he indeed will be executed, nevertheless, the pasuk v'ahavta l'recha kamoicha, you should love your fellow Jew as yourself, enjoins us that we have to choose the least painful and the least abusive death. So it's referring to even such a Jew who is a Rasha. A Jew who engaged not just in a transgression, but in a terrible transgression, whether it's murder, idolatry, adultery, and so forth. The Maharam Shik elaborates upon this as well, how you see from this Gemara, that after Recha Kamecha refers even to Arash. The Maharam Shik elaborates upon it, and has Tayag Mitzvahs Mitzvah Reish Mem Dalet, Rabbi Rucham Fishel Perla, and his Pirushan Sefer HaMitzvahs of Rasag elaborates upon this. And therefore the Rameh was a Rishon, and in his commentary, Yad Rameh, Rabbi Meir Halevi Abulefia, so in his Yad Rama and Sanhedrin in Daf Nun Beis, he writes that the Chol Heichad Ksiv Reyacha Mashma Yisrael V'afil Rasha. When it says Reyacha, it includes a Yid, even if he's a Rasha. In fact, he has a second interpretation that he says Reyacha comes from the word Ra. V'haftal Reyacha Kamech, even Rayim Shabach, even Rayim Shabacha, even those that are Ra you should love. But how do we reconcile this with the Gemara in Pesachim? The Gemara in Pesachim, Kuf Yud Gimel, that certain Jews are mitzvah to hate. And a lot of commentators struggle with reconciling these two opinions. But here, from the Alter Rebbe's brief words in Tanya, we see a clear-cut and beautiful explanation. The meaning in the Gemara, according to the Alter Rebbe, is not that a Rasha, a Jew who behaves immorally in contrast to Torah, is excluded from the mitzvah of Ahavta L'Recha Kamecha. V'ahavta L'Recha Kamecha includes him as well. It's just that concerning a Rasha, there's an additional din. That in his case, there is also a mitzvah to hate him. In other words, in the Rasha's case, there are two separate mitzvahs. There are two dinim. There's a mitzvah of love and a mitzvah of hate. And the two mitzvahs he derived from two psukim. One pasuk, v'ahavta l'recha kamecha, from there you learn that you have to love him as you love every Jew. And then there's another pasuk, the pasuk he brings in psachim, yiris Hashem snois ra, and from that pasuk we learn that there's a mitzvah to hate. Two dinim. In the case of the Rosh, there's an additional din. That in addition to the mitzvah of Ava, there's a mitzvah of sin, as the Alter Rebbe explains. The sin is mitzvah de Ra, and Ava is mitzvah de Toif. Now it's interesting, when you research this concept, how the Rambam defines this mitzvah. In Hilchis Deis, in Perek Vav, which I mentioned at the beginning of Perek Lamed Beis, the Rambam writes, Mitzvah al kol adam leiv as kol echad v'echad misal kegufa. There's a mitzvah on every person to love every single Jew, kol echad v'echad misal like himself. In Hilchis Reitzeach, at the conclusion of Hilchis Reitzeach, he writes, if you see your friend doing an aveira and you warned him, he shouldn't do it, and nevertheless he didn't regret it, there's a mitzvah to hate him till he does tshuva. So why did he write in Hilchis Deis, Lev is kol echad v'echad, a mitzvah to love every Jew? He had to write, there's an exception.
Now we know in the Klolim of Rambam in Mishnah Torah, the Rambam doesn't rely on what he writes later. He relies on what he writes earlier. So how can he write in Hilchos Deis Mitzvah Kol Echad Leiv is Kol Echad Vechad Mishnah Kegufay? So the Agos Maimonis in Hilchos Deis writes that what the Rambam means is Reyachin Teira Mitzvahs. But the Rambam says Kol Echad Vechad Mishnah. The Agos Maimonis qualifies it there in the Rambam. Also later in Hilchos Avil, the Rambam himself uses an expression, V'haftal re'echa kameicha, al-chicha b'teira mitzvahs. But here in Hilchos Deis, he doesn't give any other definition besides the fact that you're a Jew. Kol echad v'echad mi'Yisrael. Also in the beginning of Yad HaChazaka, he has a count of mitzvahs, a list of mitzvahs. When it comes to this mitzvah, he says, the mitzvah is to love kol b'nei adam b'nei bris. Kol b'nei adam b'nei bris. In light of what we explained here, that the mitzvah of Sina is not mevatel, doesn't eradicate the mitzvah of Ahava. So we could say that the Rambam's Shita and Hilchos Deis is, as he writes clearly, loving every single Jew. And Hilchos Reitzeach, he adds a new din, a separate din. That by certain Jews, in addition to the mitzvah of Ahava, there's also a din of Sina. Because of their Ra. And it's interesting that the Rebbe in Shulchan Aruch, in his own Shulchan Aruch, articulate these two dinim in the same way. In his Eirach Chaim and Siman Kuf Nun Vav, he discusses Avos Yisrael, he quotes this Rambam in Hilchos Deis, and he doesn't mention that a Rosh is excluded, even though the Magen Avraham in the Siman, when he mentions the din of Avos Yisrael, mentions that a Rosh is excluded, but the Alter Rebbe follows the Rambam's path. In Chayshem Mishpat, in Hilchos Avri Drachim, where he discusses the dinim of Sinna, there he adds a new din that is a mitzvah to Heder Rasha. They're living today. Exactly. The avos towards the divine soul. As he put it here even deeper, that they have a spark of godliness which animates the divine soul, which means mamish, an expression of divinity in them, albeit that it's sometimes embedded and hidden, and that allowed them to behave as they behaved. And then there's the sin and mitzvah, the evil. But now the Alter Rebbe adds, and what's perturbing him at the moment is the natural question that I'm sure you're thinking. You love the divine soul and you hate the animal soul. So do you love them or do you hate them? So someone will ask you, do you love this man or you despise this man? So you'll say, well, the bad in him I hate. The good in him I like. So someone will ask you, I didn't ask that. I asked, do you love him or do you hate him? So you say, well, which him are you talking about? The him. Emotions are not so can't be so complicated. Emotions are not susceptible to such scientific dissections. This is good for a pilpul. When you think about this person, what feeling does he evoke in you? Love or hate? So truth be told, we know from ourselves that when you're loving one part and you're hating another part, when you think about this person, what's the feeling that's evoked? Hate. If you hate him because of the bad in him, you just say that you also love him because of the good in him. It's very easy that the general feeling that is evoked in response to the general human being is hate. And in response to this, the Alter Rebbe continues the following words. And here I want to share with you something very interesting. This is not just an issue brought up in our minds when we learn these words in Tanya, but it's an issue that Tosfos brings up. Tosfos in Psachim the Daf Kuf Yud Gimel asks a question. The Gemara came to define there, like we discussed, that you're allowed to hate certain Jews. Why did the Gemara have to say that? Because there's a pasuk, Kisira Chamer Senach, Reve Tachas Masai Azev Tazavim. When you see the donkey of your enemy lying under its burden, crouched under its burden, it's a mitzvah to help him. It's like the Gemara, how do you hate another Jew? What do you mean your enemy? And for the Gemara, that you saw the Jew doing Avera. And therefore you're allowed to hate him. It was your friend, and you saw him like the Alter Rebbe explained. Frek Tosfos, I don't understand. The Gemara says in Baba Metzia Daf Lamed Beis that if you see two people with two animals, one is a friend and one is an enemy. You know the Gemara. The friend's enemy, the friend's animal is lying under a burden, and you have to help your friend unload the animal. Your enemy's animal has to be loaded, and your enemy needs help in loading it. So mitzvah besoinates a mitzvah to go first and help your enemy. Why? Could they lock off us yitzhak to subdue your evil inclination? Is a mitzvah to hate him. It's not a product of your evil inclination. It's a mitzvah to hate him. That's the whole chiddush of the Gemara and Psachim. Parenthetically, the Alter Rebbe in Shulchan Aruch in Hilchas Evri Drachim and Cheshem Mishpat, when he talks about the Sinai, he asks this question. The Alter Rebbe says that the Gemara in Baba Metzia is talking about that I hate him because of a person who harmed me in personal issues, like in my finances and so forth, so therefore it's unjustified. But Tosfos apparently learns that it's the justified religious Sina coming out of spiritual reasons, divine reasons. So what does Tosfos write? Answer. Tosfos becomes psychological and writes that in a relationship between two people, the sentiments, the feelings of each are mirrored by the other. So if I hate a transgressor, he will hate me in return, even if I didn't sin. Consequently, Tosfos says the situation will come to the point and will lead them to the point of Sina Gemura, a full-fledged hatred. And at this point of the game, my original hatred is not anymore a product only of my good inclination, it's also a product of my evil inclination, and it must be subdued. Now, what does Tosfos mean? It will lead us to Sina Gemura. Isn't there a mitzvah to hate him? What does Tosfos mean before we learned anything? It will lead to complete hatred. Isn't there a mitzvah to hate him? But according to what Alter Rebbe explained in Tanya, it's crystal clear. There's a mitzvah to love him just as there's a mitzvah to hate him. Even with all the qualifications Alter Rebbe said, there's a mitzvah to love him simultaneously with a mitzvah to hate him. Sina Gemura is that the hate pervades your entire perspective. It travels from the negativity in him to the general person. And that's the dilemma we just discussed. So here the Alter Rebbe continues and says, V'gam, in addition to the above, where we demand from the Jew to love him as well, in addition to this, V'gam la'ayri rachamim b'libi aloud, one must also arouse compassion and empathy on the divine soul of the transgressor. He has to arouse within himself a sense of empathy. Because in the case of the Rishayim, of the weak people who transgress, the soul is in exile within the negativity of the Sitra Achra, which dominates it. And therefore there is room to feel bad for the soul, for his soul. And the feeling of empathy banishes hatred and arouses love, as is known from the pasuk in Yeshaya LeYaakov Asher Pades Avram, Yaakov who redeemed Avraham. The Alter Rebbe says, hate him, love him, but that's not enough. Have compassion for him. meditate about the fact that his soul, his divine, beautiful, good soul, he's a yid. He has within himself a transcendental, heavenly, selfless identity. Finds itself in exile, enslaved, suppressed, and buried in the subconscious cellars of his psyche. Now, rachamim, empathy, as we know in the configuration of the 10 spheres, chesed is on the right, and gvura is on the left. Chesed is the emotion of love, and gvura is the emotion of rejection, of severity, of animosity, of discipline. And in the center is rachamim, like a segel, like a triangle, being in the center, symbolizing the synthesis, the integration of the two. Because rachamim is similar to chesed and gvura, and also different.